All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. Our text is going to be a little further down the page, but let's begin by way of introduction and begin in verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And we got here a picture of an unregenerate sinner in his lost condition. Because of his own sin, Jacob is separated from his father's house. That's where he left. He left Beersheba, went out from Beersheba, separated from his father's house. Sin separates a sinner from God. He's in the wilderness. He's halted between two places. He's alone. He's in a place called Luz, which means separation. That's where he is, separated. He lighted upon this certain place. This place was just as good as the next. He just as content being at this place as the next place. It was all the same to him. The sun was set. He's in the dark. He took stones of that place for his pillow. I bet that was a mighty comfortable pillow, don't you? Stones. He lay down in that place to sleep. Picture of a spiritual death, being in darkness. But God's about to appear to him. God's about to appear to him and reveal his great mercy to Jacob in Christ. What had Jacob done to deserve that mercy? He'd done nothing. And here's the point. If God ever comes to you, dear sinner, this is where he's going to find you. Asleep in sin, asleep in rebellion, brought down in the dust of your own darkness. Now here's the one reason that God came to Jacob. In Romans 9:11, it tells us, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. Of him that calleth. It was said unto Rebekah, Jacob's mother, the elder shall serve the younger. As is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. In verse 12, it says, and he dreamed a dream, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. This ladder is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God-man mediator, the one that reaches between heaven and earth. He said in John 1:51, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The Lord stood above this ladder. It says there in verse 13, behold, the Lord stood above it. The Lord stood above this ladder and it reached down to Jacob. When Christ Jesus, when he became a man, he never ceased being God. He's the Lord above and he's the ladder that reaches down to man. He said, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. There he was. He was there in the earth, but yet he was in the bosom of the Father. He's man, but he's God. He's that ladder who's going to bring God and his children together in one. Those angels ascended and descended upon that ladder. His ministers that he sent to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation are continually going up by Christ Jesus to the Father to receive word to bring down to God's people. And that's what, and this is how we're going to come to him. He's the way. We transgress the law. That's what we've done. And there's the only way that God can be just and the justifier and yet show us mercy. There's never in the history of the world ever been any man wise enough to show absolute perfect justice and at the same time give absolute perfect mercy. But wise God, our wise God has done that. He done it in one, in Christ. He's God and He's man in one, and He brings together God and men in one. That's what He does. How so? Romans 3:24. Romans 3:24. This is how He does it. By what He's done, His people are justified freely by His grace. You know, those are two words, justification and grace. There's those two words that you and I, we could never, if left to ourselves, make those two words reconcile in harmony. We just could not do it. One's going to have to be at the expense of the other if it's left to us. But not God. Justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This is He whom God set forth to be a propitiation, atonement, the mercy seat, the seat of all mercy, through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now let's look back at our text. Now Christ is that, He's that good news, He's that seed that's revealed in the heart of every single sinner that God saves. Everyone. The same good news is revealed. Look back at Genesis 28:13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac your father. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, to your children, and thy children shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed. This is that seed that was promised Abraham. This is that seed that was promised Christ, Isaac. It's the same seed promised Jacob. It's the same seed promised wherein all these words are true. To every sinner whom God calls, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Paul told us that seed's Christ. He's that one in whom these promises are sure. Now that's what we saw when I read to you in 2 Corinthians 1:18. Let's go back over there and read that again. 2 Corinthians 1:18. Paul said this. He said, as God is true, our preaching to you was not yes and no. Not yes and no. No possibility that any for whom Christ died are not going to be saved. No possibility that you can undo what God has done. No possibility. It's not maybe. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, Silvanus and Timotheus, it was not yes and no, but in Christ it was yes. It was yes. For all the promises of God, all the promises of God, the whole Word of God, this everlasting covenant He makes in our heart, all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. He which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. He seals us. He gives the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. He makes this thing certain for us. Makes this thing certain for us. He's the one who has the dominion. Now look back at our text. And now here we come to our text. And I want to show you four great promises. Four great promises. They're full of comfort for God's believing children. These promises to you who believe are not yes and no. They're not maybe. They're yes and they're amen in Christ Jesus. They're certain. Here they are. This would be the divisions of our message. Genesis 28:15. Here's the first promise. Behold, I am with thee. Here's the second promise. And I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. Here's the third promise. And I will bring thee again into this land. And here's the fourth promise. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Four great promises. Here's the first promise. I am with thee. This is a I am with thee. I realize that am is added by the translators, but I can't read those two words, I am, without thinking of this double blessing here. I mean, it's great to know he's with us. It's great to know he's with us, but here's to know who it is that's with us. The I am, the great I am. Moses was concerned about this. The Lord said, tell them I am hath sent you. Tell them I am hath sent you. And the Lord, Moses said, if you don't go with us, Lord, if your presence doesn't go up with us, that's what we want, the presence of the great I am. We saw that in Psalm 9 on Thursday night. Listen to the scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ singing to us. He says, when mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou settest in the throne judging right. You remember in that, when he came out of the Garden of Gethsemane and those soldiers came to him, and the brilliance of his Godhead, the glory of God shined through. And he said, who you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. And when he did, the presence of God, they just fell back. That's what he's promised. I am with thee. And he says, I am with thee. Here's the second thing of that promise that'll give us some blessing. Who are we? Who am I? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Who am I? Who am I? We have some places in Scripture where some of the Lord's people ask that question. Look at Genesis 18:27. Whenever the Lord called Abraham, on one occasion, Abraham said in Genesis 18:27, he answered and said, behold, now I've taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, who am but dust and ashes. That's all I am. Look at Exodus 3:11. Exodus 3:11. Moses was called by God, and God said, I'm sending you to Pharaoh that you bring forth my people and the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Exodus 3:11, who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? What did God answer him? He said, certainly I'll be with thee. I'll be with thee. You're not anybody. I'm not anybody. But here's our strength. I'll be with thee. Here's what David said. Look over at 1 Chronicles 29:14. 1 Chronicles 29:14. 2 Kings. 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 29:14. David said, but who am I? Who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? You there, 1 Chronicles 29:14? Who am I? What is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. We hadn't given God anything, have we? He gave us everything, and gave us a willingness, and gave us a heart to give what he gave us to him. And what Paul answers this question, what do we think of ourselves? Paul answers this question. He said, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. This grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Who am I? Who am I? Dust, ashes, the least of the least. But my Savior is God. My Savior is the great I am. My Lord and Jesus Christ, the God, he's the great I am. And he says, I'm with thee. And when he's with us, there's no harm that can come to us. When he's with us. You know, the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph was, it doesn't mean we won't go through trial. Joseph was sold down into Egypt, you know. And he went down into Egypt and was thrown in prison in Egypt. But it says the Lord showed him mercy and gave him favor in sight of the keeper of the prison. That keeper of that prison, he took a shine to Joseph. Because God gave him favor in Joseph's eyes. That's why. It wasn't It wasn't Joseph's. Joseph was probably a real nice guy. But God gave him the favor in that man's eyes. He told Gideon, he said, "This is a strength for you, Gideon. Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." Isaiah said, "Take counsel together." He said, let everything, say everything you want to. Take counsel together. It won't come to anything. It'll come to nothing. Speak the word. It won't stand. Why? For God is with us. God is with us. Well, let's look back. Genesis 28, verse 15. Here's the second promise. "And I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. I'll keep thee in all places whither thou goest." He keeps us by going before us, and He keeps us by going behind us. That's how He keeps us. You remember the angel of the Lord in the cloud and pillar when Israel had come through the Red Sea and the Egyptians were following after them? And that angel of the Lord and that pillar of the cloud went around and got between them and Egypt. It got between them. It came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and a darkness to the Egyptians. But it gave light by night to His people. Light in the night. That's what Joseph's finding. He's seeing light in the night. We get in darkness, don't we? We get. This is not just for an unregenerate sinner. This is for a regenerated sinner. We get in this darkness where Joseph was. We get between two places, halting between two opinions, stuck out in the land of separation. And God's going to make these promises real in our heart by showing us Christ Jesus, the ladder in whom we have access to God, and make us to know these promises are yes. These promises are real. These promises are true in Christ Jesus because of what He's accomplished for His people. And He said, "I'll keep thee whether you go." Wherever you go, wherever you wander, our path takes us through some mighty... Jacob's leaving this land right here, and he's going to go on an adventure where he's going. But God's keeping him wherever he goes. Wherever he goes. And that's what God's promised to do. As we go through this land, that's what He's promised to do. But there's something even more important than that in John 6:37. I do want Him to keep me as I walk through this land. But here's what I want. John 6:37. I've been made to see something that is more important than things of this earth. I want Him to keep me eternally. Eternally. Look at John 6:37. He said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and I will in no wise cast out." Listen to that. There's no maybes in that statement. There's no ifs in that statement. There's no conditions in that statement. All that comes to me, all that comes to Christ, He says, I will in no wise cast them out. I won't cast them out. Verse 38, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day." That's certain. This is what the Lord said. It's certain. My brothers and sisters, do you sometimes get faint in your mind? Do you faint in your mind, in your heart? Does your heart become troubled? Does that ever happen to you? We do find ourselves troubled, don't we? We find ourselves afflicted. We find ourselves pressed. We find ourselves without strength. We do find ourselves perplexed. Do you? We do. Sometimes we don't know what to do. Sometimes we don't know what's the right direction, or what is it the Lord would have me to do. We just don't. We're perplexed. Paul said that. You know that? Paul said, we are troubled on every side. He said, we are perplexed. We are. That's true. But here's what he said. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Why not? We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We rejoice in Him. And it may be for a season that we're in heaviness because it's needful. We're in heaviness through manifold, multiple, perplexing, and troubling providences that God Himself has sent, that God Himself has ordered and arranged for us. But even in those times, look at John 14:1. Even in those times, brethren, can you think of a more troubling, a more perplexing time than when the Lord told His disciples, this one they walked with, this one they loved, this one that they had received so many blessings from Him in their heart, spiritually, and in their bodies, temporally. And He's telling them now, I'm fixing to go to the cross and lay down my life for you. I'm fixing to go there and you're going to see me be crucified and my form be marred more than any man. And you're going to see these things. And you're going to go off and leave. But look how tender He deals with this. He says, John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You think He said that because He didn't know what was in their heart? He said it because He knew exactly what was in their heart. He knew what they were feeling in their heart. And He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in Me. Believe the words that I've spoken to you. In My Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. The Lord's not keeping anything from His people. He's not doing any. Men do things in secret and privily and damnable heresies and that we've been seeing in 2 Peter, but our God doesn't do things that way. He speaks plainly. Our Lord taught, preached openly, publicly, everywhere He went. He didn't have anything to hide. And He said, if it weren't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And He says, I'm going to keep you wherever you go. And this is the next promise that He gets. He said, I'm going to come again and bring you to where I am, that where I am, there you may be also. And that's the next promise in our text. Look back there. He said, I'm with thee. He said, I'll keep thee in all places whither thou goest. And He says, and I'll bring thee again into this land. I'm bringing you again into this land, that land of Canaan that pictures the great promised land, heavenly glory with our great shepherd. He said, I'm bringing you there. I'm going to prepare a place for you and I'm bringing you there. Jacob was in that land at the time when God was speaking to him. He was in that land at this time. But he was having to go out of that land. And he was going to go through a lot. A lot. But he's coming back to that land, the Lord said. You know, before God made anything in the will and purpose and creation of His people in Christ Jesus, before He made a grain of sand, we were in the land of Canaan with Him and have been with Him in His Son. But we went out. We went out in sin and rebellion against God. We went out. And now that He's called us, we have to wander like exiles in a foreign land, this land which has now been made foreign to us. We wander through this land like Jacob wandered in that foreign land. But God has promised us, I'm bringing you again to this land. I'm bringing you back into My presence. I'm bringing you back into union with Me. Did He do that? Did God do what He promised Jacob? Did He bring him there? Don't you love it when God saves a Jacob? Because that's what we are. You know, do you think that when God called him by His grace, do you think that tricking, supplanting, you think that went out of Jacob? That's who Jacob was in himself. And it was still there. And everywhere he went, he was still trying to do those things. But God dealt very patiently with him, very in long suffering with him. Jacob was a conniver. He was a conniver. But in God's grace, God kept him and led him and brought him through everything. He walked through that land And in all of his ups and downs, and all of his sin, all everything that he did, God's love for him never changed. It never. These promises were in Christ Jesus, and therefore these promises never change towards one of his chosen people. Never. Ever. God showed Jacob faithfulness, which no unfaithfulness on Jacob's part could change. That's what he showed him. And in the end, God brought into that land this worm Jacob. He brought him there. And when he brought him there, you know what he did after he brought him there? He changed his name to Israel, the Prince of God. You see a picture in that? I'll be satisfied when he brings me into that land and I awake in his presence. And I see him. I awake as he is. And I'm conformed to his image. And I'm truly then fully, finally, completely made a prince with God in his very image. He did that. He brought him there and he did that for him. Why? Why did he do that? How do I know the Lord's going to do that? How do I know the Lord's going to do all these things for me? What does it always ultimately come down to? Where does it begin? Where does it continue? And where does it come down? What does it come down to? What does our salvation, how does our salvation begin? It began here with Jacob being shown this revelation. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, he spoke. He said. This is how salvation begins. The Word of God speaks into the heart of his child. He said. He said, I'll be with you. He said, I'll keep you wherever you go. He said, I'll bring you again into this land. He said it. That's how we're kept continually. He keeps saying this in our heart. And that's how we continue and walk. And though we're in heaviness and manifold temptations, we walk because he keeps saying this. Is he saying it to you today? Is he saying this in your own heart? He keeps saying this to us. And this is the fourth thing. The Lord God brought it all to pass because he said he would, because he promised Jacob. It all comes down to this. Do I trust the Word of God? If God said it, it's so. Whether I believe him or not, it's so. Look, Genesis 28:15. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. I will not leave thee until I have done it. If God left Jacob for a minute, would Jacob have done it? Nope. He'd ended up right where he was, right where he was found. But God said, I won't leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of. You know what happened to Jacob when this revelation, when God spoke and he heard this word? You know what happened to him? I'll let you read the rest of this out at your leisure, but I'm just going to give you a few things. Verse 16, Jacob awaked out of sleep. Wouldn't that be something? Jacob woke up and he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I didn't know it. Wouldn't that be amazing if God did that today? If he spoke and somebody woke up and said, the Lord is in this place and I didn't know it. I didn't know it. You know what he did? He found himself in the house of God. That's where he found himself. Where's the house of God? Is it these four walls right here? No. Where's the house of God? It's the stones that he's assembled that make up his house. The tabernacles that every believer is in whom he dwells. The place where he assembles his people together. The place where he comes and makes his presence known. Wherever it is. It might be on a mountain. It might be by the riverside. It may be in a chariot with an Ethiopian running back down to his land from Jerusalem. It may be in some strange places. But God, never strange enough for God not to be able to come to where his people are and find them and make this known in their heart. He always does. And he found himself there and he went from being in a land of separation. Look, verse 19. He took those pillars and he made an altar, verse 18 says, and he poured oil on the top of it. He started worshiping God. That's what he did. He started worshiping God in Christ our altar. That's what the picture is here. And he quit sleeping and slumbering somewhere in between out there in the land of Luz. And this is what happened. He called the name of that place, verse 19, Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at first. He was out there separated from God at first. But now God separated him from that place and brought him into the house of God. That's what God does. He separates us from this world and brings us into His house. But love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What is in the world? What is all that is in the world? Remember how Eve was tempted. She saw lust of the eyes. She desired it, lust of the flesh. She thought it was a tree to desire to make one wise. That's a lust of wanting honor and wanting to be exalted and wanting the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what Christ was tempted with by Satan. Satan came to him, had the audacity to come to Christ Jesus, the Son of God, and promise him and say, he's hungry. He's been out there. He's been fasting from the world. He's out there in that wilderness and hungry. And if he would have had any lust in his flesh, which our Savior had none, but Satan came to him and said, make these stones bread. Make these stuff. Start eating off of this earth. Start depending on this earth for your food. Look to this earth for your food. Look to earthly things for your food. That would make us, if we were hungry in the lust of our flesh, it takes less than that to make us say, I'm going to live for this world. He came to him and he showed him the lust of what would have been in us, the lust of the eyes. He said, look at all these kingdoms right here. I'll give all this to you. I'll give everything to you. All honor. Pride of life. I give everything to you. And our Lord said, get behind me, Satan. You can't give me anything. He said, it's written, man doesn't live by bread alone. He lives by every word that proceeds from where? From the mouth of God. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of God. It's not of God. It's not of God. It's just not of God. You know, as soon as they sinned in the garden, you know what they did then? They had the lust of the eye. They saw themselves as naked. They had the lust of the flesh. I got to be covered up. I've got to be covered. I've got to cover myself somehow. And they had the pride of life. I can do it. And they took fig leaves and tried to cover themselves. That's not of God. It's not of God. The Word. How did God cure that? How did He cure that? Adam heard the voice of the Lord. He heard the Word of the Lord. That Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. He heard the Word walking in the garden. You ever heard a voice walk? John did. He said, this is Him of whom I've been telling you about. The voice that's walking, the Word that's walking among us, been made flesh and dwelt among us. He heard Him. What did he hear? When he heard Him the first time, and he heard Him walking in the garden, you know what he did? He went and hid himself from Him. Because he's still under the dominion of the lust of his flesh and the lust of his eyes and the pride of life. He went and hid himself from God. But when God spoke particularly to him, affectionately to him, and said, Adam, where are you? He heard Him in the heart then, and He answered then. He answered Him. And when He brought Him to Himself and He brought Him there and He expected He was going to get a curse and he did and men fell under the curse. But when He brought Him there, God did what He does for every child that comes to Him. He gave Him mercy. He said, I'm saving you in the seed of woman. And He stripped all those leaves off of Him. And Adam believed God. He named his wife Eve as the mother of all living, of Christ the life, of the one in whom all are made alive, the one in whom all the elect of God shall live and be with God forever. And through faith, God stripped him and put the clothes and the robe of that slain lamb upon him. Why? Because God said it. God made it. He did it. He spoke it. He did it. Wouldn't it be something if we woke up and really began worshiping God at Christ our altar? He consecrated him. Jacob, look, verse 20. Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I go, and give me bread to eat, raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. He's saying this, God's going to do all this for me. What Robert just said. How can I not worship him? How can I not rejoice and be glad? This is my God, my Lord and my God. And he said, and this stone which I've set for a pillar shall be God's house. I'm going to worship him right here. Right here. And all that thou shalt give me, I'll surely give the tenth unto thee. Now everything I have, everything I am, and everything God has given me, it's all given of God. Who am I that I should be able to give anything to God when he's given everything to me? And he said, he worshiped God. He consecrated to God. That's what we see here. I wish we could just believe the word of God, don't you? Hardest thing in the world. Most simple thing. Just believe God. Believe his word, and the most difficult thing for a sinner to do, just believe him. This is what he said, heaven and earth shall pass away. That's what God said through John. He said, all this in the world, it's not of God, it's all passing away. It's all going to burn up, every bit of it. But the Lord said, but my words won't. What I've said, does it mean just his words or not? It means what I promised you is coming to pass. It is not going to pass away. It's sure. It's not maybe. It's yes. It is yes, and it's amen. So let's look over to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. This is what we've heard in Hebrews. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said that. So that we may boldly say, with confidence and assurance, the Lord's my helper. I'll not fear what man shall do unto me. How can I be so sure? Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. That's everything we need right there. That's everything we need. You wanna go into some deep, dark, mysterious theological debates and stuff? It's right here. It's as simple as it gets. It's what we need. We need a God who's faithful. Faithful is he. We need a God to call us in power, make us trust him. Faithful is he that calleth thee. We need a God who'll do everything for us. He'll also do it. That's all we need. Amen.